our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. This is the morning shift, and we are rolling along here. You guys have picked up the pieces after that Falcons lost 38-6 to the Broncos on Sunday?
No.
Okay.
I'm still in shambles.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough ask, Tiff. That's a tough ask.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, it doesn't look good right now. It's been two losses. There seems to be regression defensively, slightly offensive regression, and I think it's basically just teams figuring you out. And this is the chess match of it, where okay, we've adjusted to you, now it's time for us to adjust to them, right? And that's kind of where I see us offensively, yeah. And I think defensively we're there in a way too. Now defensively you're banged up, but you know, I hear panic and stuff, and I just think about the mentality that's kind of a soft mentality when you start panicking and freaking out and all is lost, all is lost. We got one win. We're gonna have one win in the next six games. And I think it's too quick to fire that alarm off and to hit that button or whatever phrase you want to use that I'll probably butcher. What I would say is like, we've got to get some guys healthy, and our players, not just our coaches, but our players need to figure out what they're doing wrong and what they're not doing and make that adjustment.
Yeah, and I think, look, to your point, and I understand, I'm not panicking. I'm further along towards there probably than I was at this point last year, even though it was really, really gloom and doom last year. But I just, to me, some of the things you see, and you and I mentioned it, we started watching the All-22 this morning. You go in, and you know Charlie Warner's out, and one of the first things you notice is they try to run like a mid or wide zone behind Kyle Pitts, and Kyle Pitts is at the tight end on the play side and gets shoved in the backfield. And I think the curiosity for me is why at this point, like, am I going to blame Kyle Pitts for that? Because he's not getting movement on a drive block, on a wide zone, not getting hand placement, hat placement? Or am I going to say, why are we at this point in the season, and this point in Kyle Pitts' career, that we're expecting to be play side on a run play and somehow magically expect him to get that done? It's not going to happen, right? So therein comes the frustration for me. And I think the conversation is always, and you heard it on, you know, Steakhouse yesterday, and we've talked about it before, the conversation is always going to fall back into as well some of the positions you could have used depth and help in, and we have a backup quarterback that was our number 8 overall draft pick. So I am probably further along than you towards panic, which kind of scares me, to be honest, because I usually pride myself in being more level-headed at this point. But we seem to lack a counterpunch in certain aspects of our game. We seem to lack the ability, okay, you can't get moved in the run game, or you can't pass protect. Let's run screens. Let's run draws. Let's run misdirection. It's the same thing defensively. Okay, they're going to pick apart what we're trying to do in cover 3 and route concepts. Oh, we should be able to blitz. Nope, can't get home. Let's rush 3. Let's drop everybody. Let's go into all these zones. Nope, not working. Just picking you apart. And it's not like it's Tom Brady back there. We're talking about a rookie, Bo Nix. So I think when we came away from the Seattle game and you looked at how we felt after the Seattle game and the fact that you went in against a team you should beat and you got dominated pretty good, it's like, okay, well, you know, this, we're going to have ups and downs in the NFL season. And then you saw what you saw against New Orleans, and you're like, you know, it's a rivalry game. But this one I've got nothing for. And I think that scares me moving forward. And, coming up and mic'd up later on, I'm going to kind of diagnose and try to project, the games you have left on the schedule and what those games might look like. But it just, nothing feels secure to me. Even looking at some of the scenarios facing some of the bad teams you're playing, nothing feels like it's a slam dunk, that is.
Maybe some answers will get resolved during the bye week. Kirk Cousins, he talked with former Atlanta Falcons QB Dave Archer, also a host of Falcons, also an analyst, on the Falcons radio network. And they discuss what needs to happen during the Falcons bye week.
Well, we have to have some conversations to talk about how we can be better. And, those are conversations. The conversations are one thing, but actually resolving it and getting answers is the other thing. And so that's what we've got to do. And I think that's probably priority number one on the bye week.
That just so rings out, is the actually resolving it and getting answers and resolving it is another thing.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of where I think you're on a team or you're a part of something where you owe it to not just yourself, but the rest of your team to be held accountable and to show accountability and to say, I've got to be better. I've got to do this. And everyone in that room has to do that. And I think sometimes that's where we think things can maybe get testy. But I don't necessarily think that should be that. That's going to be the case. I don't foresee that being the case anyways.
No, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be the case. It shouldn't be. Testy is probably a good word. It's not like they're going to get up and beat each other's throats, but testy is a good thing in an NFL locker room because, like I said, that means accountability. And sometimes guys sit back and they can see the end of the road and, you know, in the schedule. And sometimes you have to kind of reset your goals. And that's where leadership steps in and says, hey, what you're doing, what I'm seeing on film is not good enough. And I think that, listen, unfortunately, when you go into a bye week coming off a win, coming off a good win, a good stretch, you can kind of cruise in, feel good, get your body right, you know, get back to doing things. In this situation, you're not going to get any kind of mental reset or mental break. They are probably going to be stewing over this one for the foreseeable future.
Well, you heard Cousins talk about what needs to happen. He said conversations. What are the details in those conversations? What's going to take place? Here's Coach Raheem Morris on what needs to be fixed.
I think it's a little bit of all of it. You know, some of his scheme, you know, some of his putting players in different positions, some of his doing different things across the board. I think everything that you're talking about when it comes to football will be thought about and will be potentially applied to us going out to the next outing. So, like, whatever it takes to win football games, what we're willing to do. And I know my guys upstairs and my guys on this football team are willing to do all those things.
I said it yesterday. I think scheme has a pivotal part in this because I think sometimes, Mike, you tell me what you know, and Tiff, you've been around this game as much as anybody, what you guys think, but I mean, sometimes you got to adjust your scheme to the personnel you have on the field. And when you lose people, when you don't have your starting two of your three starting cornerbacks, you know, counting the nickel, maybe you've got to play differently. Maybe you can't leave these guys so far back. When you're missing, you know, guys up front or you're not getting production from those guys, or, I don't know, the only two healthy linebackers that you have that you came into the season with on the roster because the other two are out, you maybe adjust what they're doing. You can't just do this everything the same no matter who's out there, right?
Yeah.
Or am I crazy?
No.
Can you adjust for, and not disparaging anyone, but for, like, talent? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
That's hard to replace.
Yeah, you're spot on. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, if I don't have D. Alford, who I know plays aggressive and can play tight up on that nickel spot when needed to, or can play back and still read and react quickly, then maybe I go pull the third or fourth nickel when I have Richie Grant in there trying to play it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like last week defensively, and we can get to offensively here in a minute because I know that there's some room there, but defensively, I felt like, hey, we know we're missing all these guys, but we're not going to change a damn thing.
That's what it felt like when Kevin King went out, for sure. Because I'm sitting there going, okay, Natron Brooks is up. They'll put him to the outside. They'll slide Clark Phillips to the nickel. Just seems like the logical thing to do. And yet you put in Richie Grant at the nickel throughout the rest of the first half, and Richie Grant has struggled at safety and coverage. So now he's going to go play nickel, and he's going to be able to pattern match and do some of those things. And you got ate up because of it. And you made those changes at halftime. But there's and to Raheem's point, and I love that soundbite from him, but it's all over the field, and it's not just one thing. And, you know, Tiff, I like your comment about how do you replace when you don't have talent. That, like, let's just look as far as our offense, and I'm about to say, there's six first-round picks starting on our offense, and another one sitting on the bench. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it's like, dude, the talent is there. We've got one of the highest-ranked offensive lines in terms of what they do. How can you build on that? How can you build counters off of wide zone? How can you, I don't know, maybe pull a guard? That'd be crazy to think about, right? No, I keep bringing that up from time to time. How do you get better at your screens? How do you put in different screens? You know, Sunday, you saw Ray McLeod trying to chip on the way out to help Jake Matthews. And it ended in a disaster because he chipped Jake Matthews instead of chipping the defensive end.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because...
and it's laughing because it's a comedy of errors, dude. And like, you have to schematically look at that and go, why is this happening? And why is this one of the things that we are depending on to be able to go win this game? So I think it's just everybody on the field, aside from like three players, has to play harder And I think schematically, as any good coach will say, they have to do they have to do a better job of putting these guys in a position to succeed. And that starts with Raheem. He knows offense and defense, but it does trickle down immediately to Jimmy Lake and Zach Robinson, and then getting more out of the guys that they're putting up to bat on a weekly basis.
Well, Tiffany just said it. How do you, you know, with the talent thing, you also got to know people's strengths. And while I've been very on the record about I'm not going to sit here and say I can't. Don't tell me I can't ask Kyle Pitts to block because he's a tight end. And if I can't ask him to block, then the reality of the situation is you know it's coming. But can we go ahead and just not ever ask Ray McLeod to block again unless it's downfield? Because on the one screenplay, maybe all year that you've ran efficiently, it was all because Kadarrell Hodge was able to make a guy miss because Ray didn't block anybody there either.
Yeah.
And Ray Ray's fun. He makes big catches
clutch,
constantly.
Man. Clutch player.
He's probably the most unique dressed NFL player I've seen in a while.
Other than Joe Burrow? He's ahead of Joe Burrow?
Unique. Well, you didn't let me finish. Unique in a fashionably
acceptable
way. I mean, I don't know what it is that Joe Burrow, who was the player that wore the blouse the other day, the former NFL player that wore the blouse on the field?
It was the Eagles.
Fletcher Cox.
Yeah.
Fletcher Cox, yeah.
You want to say something to him about it?
Joe Burrow and Fletcher Cox.
I will. Yeah,
He can. Joe Burrow and Fletcher Cox are essentially, they're using the same stylus apparently because, I don't know, I mean, the
wear what you want. Who cares?
Well, you know what? Then don't criticize people for celebrating Halloween, Joe. I'm still pissed off about that. Joe Burrow doesn't come after one of my favorite holidays and get to wear a pantsuit the next day to a damn NFL game, all right? That's a horrible look. I'm sorry. That's my rant. That's my TED Talk. Thanks for joining.
He did go in on Halloween for no reason.
Which undrafted quarterback finds himself back in a starting position this coming week? Details on the way when we go in the huddle next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The long rebound taken by the Kings. And now they're not going to call. It's time. 5 seconds left. Fox. Fox fires it. It's blocked by Dyson Daniels. Saves it now to Trey Young. We got pushed off the floor. The game is over. The game is over. The Hawks win. Dyson Daniels, the defensive player of the year in the NBA, just blocked the great De'Aaron Fox. And the Hawks win by a point.
Steve Holman on the call. Of course, the Hawks games, Atlanta, or 92.9 The Game is your home for Atlanta Hawks games. As the Hawks, you heard on the call, go on to beat the Kings 109-108 on Dyson Daniels' game-saving play there. And it was a night in which you saw Trey Young, just 7 points, but a monster game when it comes to dishing the ball out. He had 19 assists.
I just can't imagine... I can't imagine how excited previous me would have been hearing him say, defensive player of the year, the Atlanta Hawks. It just doesn't seem like two things that have belonged in the same sentence for the last decade. And yet here we are, talking about a guy in Dyson Daniels who just showed up. And really, I mean, let's be honest, nobody for the most part paid that much attention to the Dyson Daniels part of this trade. When you got rid of DeJounte Murray and it was all about what you gave up for DeJounte Murray and what you got back in return, and Dyson Daniels just an afterthought, young guy, a lot of upside, but man, I don't think Holman's that far off. This is a guy who has done so much defensively in such a short period of time. You add that to the length of Zach Rizochet and DeAndre Hunter, the combination there at the three and everything else going on with this team, and I don't know what the Hawks are. I don't know what the future looks like for the Hawks, but it seems like to me as they continue to get more healthy, they're gonna make some noise here, in the mid parts of the season and through Christmas.
Yeah, like Dyson Daniels defensively. I mean, he's averaging almost 4 steals a game. That's pretty good. And 15 games in, he's just been phenomenal. I said it earlier. We're a franchise in the Hawks that predominantly comes out on the raw end of the deal when there's trades made. I mean, nationally, the perspective is that we lost the Luka trade. I don't necessarily agree with that. I've never said that. I think that both teams can win, but depending on what month and year you ask, you can say, yeah, we lost it. We lost it because last June, we were all saying we lost it. And that's okay. It goes ups and down, but You know, to me, the worst trade in NBA history, because I'm extremely close to it, was Dominique Wilkins in a year where you won, almost 60 games?
Right.
You trade him away for Danny freaking Manning, who left after that. You know, the DeJounte Murray trade, recent history, where you trade three first-round picks for a guy who comes here. You're in the play-in round both years he was here, and he was disgruntled. And you can argue about the disgruntled, but he literally told you he was disgruntled as soon as he went to New Orleans. And so I know he broke his hand in opening night. They've got nothing out of him so far. We've gotten a lot out of Dyson Daniels. But the bigger picture is that Trey is comfortable with this team and everything about it, because as Tiff pointed out earlier, in a night where he was 1-for-7 from the floor and scored 7 points, he dished it for 19 assists.
Yeah.
And he still played like 36 minutes. And then you get DeAndre Hunter, who's now off the bench because of the addition of Risha Shea with the first overall pick. Boom. And, by the way,
ding,
you got Bogey and Kobe Bufkin back. So, yeah. For the first time, as you said earlier, all year, you feel like maybe you're getting healthy.
And it's funny how 24 hours can change something. We talked about them being on the second half of a back-to-back, and it's like the Hawks, it just seems like never play well in the second half of back-to-back. It's kind of like Braves on Sundays. The Hawks just never in the back-to-back play well. And yet they go out to the West Coast. They're able to knock this one off. I think they were 5-point underdogs at the beginning of the game against the Kings. I'm watching the game Sunday night doing the post-game for the Falcons. And I'm like going on this 5-minute rant about how bad the Falcons looked against the Broncos. And I look up and the Hawks are inbounding a ball off somebody's head in the Portland Trailblazers game. And it hits the ground. Somebody else dunks it. Trailblazers on a 25-2 run. I'm like, this couldn't get any worse. And yet the Hawks are able to pick it back up and get a big win and now move to 7-8. Like I said, I don't know what this team is, but man, a lot better vibes right now than it would have been had you had 2 points less last night.
The defensive player of the year of the NBA.
Yeah. Bring it to me. I love it, man. I love it.
Let's get a check on what's going on with the latest NFL headlines. All right, we are going in the huddle, and up in New York, things not going well for the Giants. Not talking about the Jets, surprisingly. This statement from head coach Brian Daboll, he said after evaluating and watching a lot of tape, that's the reason we are going with Tommy DeVito as the starting quarterback. He said Drew Locke will be the backup. So he said this move was necessary for us, and I'm looking forward to working with Tommy. He'll be ready to go against Tampa Bay this weekend. So Daniel Jones officially benched.
Yeah, and some of the reports I read yesterday, guys, were that Brian Daboll feels like, and there are some people in the front office that feel like that Daboll is coaching for his job over the next few weeks towards the end of the season, and he felt more comfortable with Tommy DeVito. And it's like you're playing, you know, Drew Locke's in on a 1-year, $5 million contract. You're a $5 million backup. And yet you got, leapfrogged into the starting role when Daniel Jones doesn't show up, you know, for the first 10 games or whatever it is at this point for them. And he just felt like he was more comfortable with Tommy DeVito with his job on the line, which I think says a lot about where this franchise is at, man. And like I said, we'll get into it next segment about, you know, the Falcons matchup with them down the road. But it's a decision that I think Daboll felt like he needed to make, because that's a situation that's going downhill quickly.
If you're going to go down, you might as well go down your way and with the people you feel comfortable, you know, executing your plan. So I don't blame Daboll. I don't know. Maybe Daniel Jones is the future for him is a clipboard and running in every two to three games a year at the most. And, you know, maybe given that Ryan Fitzpatrick bump that backup QBs will give you for a couple of games and then going back to the bench.
I think it is curious to look at it, though, because I know that there's kind of a very, very narrow edge for the Jags to be the number one pick, but the Giants, the Browns, and the Raiders are all kind of right there. And at least three of those teams probably would like a quarterback, right? So you look at that situation, and I'm not saying that anybody would ever tank in that given situation, but I know that some people out there are at least thinking it in terms of you playing Tommy DeVito down the stretch run for the Giants after you had shown interest in Jaden Daniels last year and what might be out there this season.
Well, since you brought up the Jags, they're coming off a 52-6 major lopsided loss to Detroit. Detroit hung up, what, 50-plus twice this season? Didn't they do it to the Cowboys? Or was that...
Well, I think they got 47 okay. against the Cowboys. Ugh. Maybe it was 47-6, I think.
You can round up. Needless to say, things are not going well in Jacksonville for the Jags. And Coach Doug Peterson says he is still evaluating potential changes to the coaching staff, that everything is on the table.
I got to be completely flat out honest with you guys, and I know Bo loves when I am. I am shocked that we're still on Tuesday talking about Doug Peterson as the head coach of the Jags. And you never like to see these head coaches go down, but I just think it's funny that he's still evaluating. He's like, I'm still evaluating. Everything's on the table. I'm like, dude, I'm surprised that you're being allowed to make some of those decisions. I don't know if you guys saw the news with Tom Herman being fired, right? The FAU head coach.
Yeah.
They actually brought back the defense coordinator that Tom Herman fired a week ago. Like, they were like, hey, sorry about that, man. We're going to get rid of him. Can you step back in here? Can you step back in? I know a lot of that has to go with recruiting, but that's kind of what I look at when I look at this Doug Peterson situation. I'm like, who are you going to fire? You know, you're going to fire, like, Ryan Nielsen? Like, I feel like in 2 weeks when Doug Peterson gets fired, you're going to be like, hey, man, that's on us. Sorry about that. Can you come back in? Are you still in town? Great to have you back.
I've talked and I've listened, and you know, guys, I'm always trying to keep my pulse on what what people in the media and the fan base are saying. But I've heard of Ryan Nielsen's name thrown out a lot lately about look at what he did with this defense. Maybe we just had a better talent-wise defense than we realized last year, because Ryan Nielsen's defense is, I'm trying to go back and look, and they've been pretty abysmal. I mean, they've not been very good on defense. They've not been very good on all. They haven't been good anywhere. And so it's just, Doug Peterson, to me, he caught lightning in a bottle in one season, yeah. And that's pretty much the gist of his coaching career. Yeah,
it really has been. He actually was quoted yesterday as saying, and he was asked about Ryan Nielsen's job status. He says, I think you got to be really, really careful when starting to point fingers at certain people. That's a dangerous thing, and I'm not going to do that. Not doing it. Not right now. As a head coach in this league that's going through what we're going through, you pointing a finger. But then why is everything on the table, I guess, is my question. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of dysfunction down there right now, and that's a team that felt like they were in a win-now mode just not long ago.
That's because if you tell me that you don't like something, I'll fire them to save myself.
Right.
That's what's everything's on the table. Doug Peterson is like, how can I save my job to get maybe, you know, a couple more million extended in a couple years from now?
We did already touch on Monday Night Football. If you missed that, Cowboys lost to the Texans 34-10. Not good there. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. What do we have coming up?
Well, Tiff, we're going to do a little bit of a Falcons schedule. Look ahead, what's realistic throughout the remainder of the season. And then when we get to a mic'd up, what is a trading card worth when you talk about baseball cards? Well, the Pittsburgh Pirates tried to put a value on one of them. You're not going to believe the offer they have out there. That's coming up next on Mic'd Up on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Rolling along here on the morning shift, we have a Mic'd Up ahead. Before we get there, we can look ahead to the Falcons' remaining schedule. They are headed to the bye week this week, but I don't know what you think of the slate coming up, but maybe there's some W's in there.
Yeah, Tiff, they got the Chargers coming up December 1st, and that's going to be an interesting game as well. Chargers seem to be a team playing at a pretty high level, getting better. I don't know what you thought, what anybody thought when Jim Harbaugh took over, but, kind of figured they were in a slight, I don't want to say rebuilding mode, but they were kind of, you know, at a flux in terms of where that team was, and with Keenan Allen and everything else going on with what they have been. And so that's going to be a tough one as well. Minnesota at Minnesota on Sunday, December 8th. So I'll stop right there with those first two, and I'll ask you guys, how are we feeling about those two games coming off the bye week and hopefully with fresh legs?
Well, you're going to win both of them.
That's how you feel?
Oh, okay.
I think you got to take one of those. And I say still one. I mean, I just think you got to take one of those games. Coming off the bye at home, you should win. Yeah. Not that you can beat them, and that they're easily beatable. That's not what I'm saying. But in the NFL, if you want to be a playoff team, you get a bye, you're playing at home, teams coming across the country, essentially, literally coast to coast, and you should win that game. Yeah. That's a game that you should win. Healthy, fresh, all those things. And then you look, and you got the Vikings game, and that, you know, the Vikings have played well this year, but are you telling me that you think the Vikings are head and shoulders better than us? They look that way record-wise, but
that's a tough one.
They've struggled as of late offensively. So Now they've got some playmakers in Jefferson and is it Hockenson is their tight end?
I was gonna say, you know, my thing with Minnesota is I'm not sure what we do better than they do. That's the frustrating part because I'm looking at those receivers going, Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison are not the kind of guys that you want to give a big cushion to and let them catch things underneath. Because they're the kind of guys that speed-wise will stiff arm somebody and they'll be up the seam before you can even get your head around good. Especially if you have to, you know, I don't know what the future holds for Mike Hughes and D. Alford, but especially if you're having to play some of the guys that we had to play last weekend in that game, that matches up as a tough one. So
I think we run the ball better than them. I think we're a better running team. I think we've got a better quarterback. Now, their receiving core I think is better when you put Justin Jefferson, who is probably the best, if not top three, you know, Jamar Chase is in that category in the NFL right now. And then you've got Jordan Addison, who seems frustrated lately, but is a very good player. And I think, Hockenson is a heck of a tight end.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a very good player. And, I mean, Aaron Jones can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, he definitely can. The next two games after that, at Vegas and then New York at home, those are two teams that are vying for that, you know, first overall pick. We just talked about them a minute ago.
Those are teams that want to lose. You got to help them lose.
Right. Well, the front offices might want to lose. The players, I promise you, don't want to.
What I mean by that is Tiffany just saw the Raiders, so she can probably speak more, but right. Everything I've seen from them is they do things on the field that good teams take advantage of to beat them.
Yeah.
Like, and I say that. That's what I mean by they want to lose. You have to go take it from them. You can't leave them hang around.
Yeah, they were. I saw them week four, a game which they lost to the Browns, and a lot has changed since then, leading to when I saw them on Sunday in Miami against the Dolphins. It was a game that they were kind of in it at first. It's actually one of Garner Minshew's better games that he's had with them, but they've had a lot of mistakes. You mentioned kind of how they lose games, right? And I think back to our stats, there's been like eight games or something where they were actually leading, but they can't find a way to hold on to the lead. So penalties have been a major issue. That was something that came up in our meeting with Coach Antonio Pierce ahead of the game. And then I talked to him for the first quarter interview because penalties were getting them again. They also made the changes going into the bye week to the offense. That was all AP's decision, Antonio Pierce, to fire Luke Getsy. And then they promote Scott Turner to their offensive coordinator, who, by the way, brought in his dad, Norv Turner, out of retirement to come help with the assist there. But, you know, they were looking to kind of try to establish the run game. But just didn't seem like anything was working for them. And, of course, you had Tua being able to extend all these plays with his legs. But it's just unfortunate for the Raiders. Those were two teams going into this past weekend that both needed to win to try to salvage their seasons. The Dolphins can still try to find a way to sneak into the playoffs. But, Raiders, it's not looking so good right now.
Yeah, and whoever is the coordinator over there seems to really love Brock Bowers. He continues to just be one of the greatest, honestly, one of the greatest rookie tight ends in the history of the NFL. Would you see what he's doing? And
he called him an X factor for that team in our meeting again going into the game, just how much basically he said Brock was as advertised.
Yeah.
And so they are definitely getting their bang for their buck out of him and then some.
Yeah. Well, and then you look at the final two games at Washington. I think that's going to be, in terms of what they do, probably the most difficult of all six of these remaining games. In terms of what Jaden Daniels do and their ability to stretch the field, can you force him into a bad decision? And if you can't, they're a team that obviously with Dan Quinn at the helm is going to play good defense, and they're going to probably get after you at the quarterback position. And then, you know, you never know what happens with Carolina. That's a game that the Falcons should go and win, but to end the season, you never really know what you're going to get in those situations. All right, let's go ahead and hit a mic, though. Yeah, shout out to John Foy. Again, shout out to everybody from the weekend that got a chance to hang out with down in Griffin, Georgia at Buffalo's Cafe. Good time there, good atmosphere, a lot of good things going on. Also, wake up call coming up at the top of the hour. If you want to weigh in on what you think, what you want to project for the Falcons in these remaining six games, which games are winnable, which games are not, make sure you give us a ring here at the top of the hour. All right, so the Pittsburgh Pirates, I wanted to bring this up. This news came out over the weekend. There is a baseball card that has been made, and I want to get to the name of the baseball card before I get you with what's been offered for it. So it's a Paul Skenes 1/1 rookie debut patch autograph. So it has the jersey logo that says Major League Baseball debut. It's been autographed by Paul Skenes, and it is a 1/1. It is a one of one from Topps. So obviously, baseball cards, a little bit of a resurgence here recently. A lot of popularity. You see the unboxing videos that happen all the time on Twitch or whatever else. Well, the Pirates have kind of jumped into this whole saga, right? And before this has even been found, they already put an offer out on the table to whoever finds this baseball card. Here's what they've got. Two Pirates season tickets behind home plate for 30 years. For the next 30 years, you will have two Pirates season tickets behind home plate. A softball game for you and 30 of your closest friends at PNC Park with coaching from Pirates alumni players, and a spring training experience like no other that gives you a private tour, a meet and greet with Paul Skeens, two Paul Skeens autographed jerseys, batting practice on the field, and other unique stuff. I don't know what the number value is on this card. I'm sure it probably has gone up since this announcement, but I don't know that there's anything that I wouldn't trade for two behind home plate season tickets for the next 30 years at the Braves games.
Is Livy Dunn going to be a part of the meet and greet?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. That rookie of the year thing was so awkward.
Already transitioning to your creepy old man phase.
That's right. Might as well.
I don't think he's alone in that one. Major League Network or Major League Baseball Network or whatever, they transition as well. I haven't heard as part of that rookie of the year announcement. That was strange. Anyways, but like I said, I don't know. Like, what is it? The Delta Club right behind home plate for the Atlanta Braves?
Yes. Yeah,
I don't know that there is.
I've never sat there. Tiff has
anything. Big time. Big time.
Whatever.
Well, you knew it so quickly. You're like, yeah, that's definitely what it is.
Yeah, definitely.
Whatever.
I don't know if there's anything, guys, a baseball card or anything, number value, it would have to be astronomical for me to turn down 30 seasons worth of season tickets in the Delta Club behind home plate. I don't know. Like, I'm looking at this but going, what is not, this card
but,
worth?
But what if it's not a Pirates fan? See, that's where the rub comes in.
Yeah.
So if you're not a Pirates fan and you find it, do you – I would still take it. I would sell them for like half off because
I'd have to see what the card is valued at. I mean, that the value of those season tickets over the next 30 years has got to be insane,
dude. It's the Pirates.
Well, I mean, we've got to be talking about like you think we're at eight figures at that point?
Yeah, but remember,
tickets behind for 30 years.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
are we at 10 million?
I don't know what those tickets go
and
for.
And you're saying it's the Pirates. What if they're playing, I don't know, like a really good team?
Well, that's true. But over the past, 30 years, the Pirates have not been. It's the truest club.
The
lesser of the Bozeman radio station, my boy Bo Johnson.
It used to be the Delta Club?
I think it did when it was at Turner, but Bo worked.
I've sat there in the truest club, so yeah.
Well, you should have known the name.
I'm just kidding.
But Bo works at
Tiffany, your bougie is showing.
At Truist.
No, it's not. I'm joking. I'm kind of joking. Pretty sure. I don't know. I don't know where I sit, guys. And I've only been to a couple of games because of my schedule. So, anyway, when we come back here on the morning shift, let's get to the wake-up call. Mike said if you want to let us know what the Falcons should do over the bye week, what you'd like to see changed, you can give us a shout. Call us at 404-726-0929. The wake-up call is next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.